笑も涙もきっとすべて君に出会うためだった
Hello everyone, welcome to Captain Earth Mini Talks. I'm Edanorn. We're doing 8 and 9 because, you know, we had to do mecha battles in real life, so we had to do that. So, with me I have J-Ro.
Hello.
Hey, what's up? And another guest, Kylion.
Hello!
Decided to drag him along.
Yeah. Nice to have some company here.
Oh, yeah. It's rare to get someone else on this.
It's quickly become one of those shows that I do genuinely look forward to seeing. So much to the point that, you know, on a Saturday after my day job, I'll download that episode to my tablet and I'll watch it on the bus ride home.
Nice.
So it's just like one of those things. I can't wait to get home to watch an episode? No way. Download it and watch it in transit, baby.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, we're doing episode 8 and 9, so I guess jump right into episode 8, titled Signs from the Dark. It's basically an introduction to, I guess, new characters coming up here soon, because Globe reveals that there are more planetary gears out there, but they're just kind of lacking memories, so it's like, yeah, they're out there, but they don't really know who they are, so kind of like Tepe, how he didn't know who he was until, I guess, Hana helped him. So, yeah.
So it's going to be planetary gear of the week for a little while?
Yeah, for a little while, I think so, yeah. Pretty much.
Well, that's an interesting decision from a storytelling perspective, because it leaves just about anything open at that point. You know, they can just say, aha, here is a new planetary gear character we found. All we have to do is find a way to get Momo around to kiss them.
Right, to restore the memories. And they did tell us that there are three girls and two guys, so, you know, most of them are going to be girls. And I'm pretty sure that's a studio decision to have more fan service thrown in.
Yeah, girls are more popular than boys. Funner to draw.
They are.
Probably, yep, that's very true. And while we do that, you know, I guess the team's assigned on a mission to, I guess, scope out an area to find this planetary gear. I guess they gotta head to, I don't know, I think it was Pitts who was telling them where it was at, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But while they're there, you know, they want to get taken to sight, so they go to a casino. It's like, what? Akari and all these guys in the casino?
Yeah, what are these young whippersnappers doing playing these casino games?
Yeah. I mean, even the new guy they introduced, well, he's kind of their age, too.
Yeah.
And he's working at a casino.
Just today, Mei Mei from Soul Leader Not got into a casino in Death City, so it's going to be all the rage very soon.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. It was kind of interesting just seeing the four of them. They're finally kind of a team, so they get assignments now. But it seems like Akari kind of takes advantage of that, because they're eating cake and everything, and getting all the expensive food. And it's like, yeah, you're having too much fun with this.
And why shouldn't she?
Right, I mean, if Will's footing the bill, I'll do all kinds of stuff too.
Yeah, go eat cake, baby.
Yeah. And then we get a little story with him. He, I guess, in the past, he was, you know, a high schooler, you know, he's the same age. And I guess he had that girl he liked or something. So they had a contest to take pictures of her. And I guess it appeared that he's a good photographer, but I think it's more of his powers, what I'll talk about in a bit. Mm-hmm. That helped him get this awesome shot, and they entered it into a contest, and the other friend used it. So it's kind of like he got screwed over a lot. I guess that's what his story is, basically.
Not exactly a strong backstory for this character, but you just kind of let it pass since he's going to be around for a while and he'll have a role as a kilt gang.
Right, yeah. And I forgot to mention his name is Zin. It's kind of all these characters have weird, like, just short names. Which is fine.
Well, it's neat because we'll talk about this in episode 9 with Ai. The planetary gears seem to be of this world, but not of this world at all. They seem to be able to achieve success, but become incredibly dissatisfied with it as time goes by.
Right, and we've seen that with Tepe too. I mean, he doesn't He doesn't know what he wants. He's kind of stuck in there right now.
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't know if he belongs to Earth. It's pretty interesting.
He is without a rudder.
Yeah, pretty much. That's true. And after all that, we get, you know, this little event where, I guess, the casino tries to recruit him to be, like, a full-time worker because, I guess, they discover he has a natural luck for, like, whatever he touches. And they kind of showed that with the flashback, like, the camera, you know. And so it's like, if he's can touch a casino table and he can get more money for the casino, he's a valuable asset to them. But Momo and Amarok kind of interrupt that meeting. And with a, you know, a big kiss on him, and he remembers who he is. And yeah, it seems like he might be the maybe the sadistic one of the group. He looks kind of, he gets a little enjoyment about fighting, I think, more than the other characters so far.
Oh, yes.
And also the fact that the kiss has a little more than just the memory thing. It's almost kind of like he knows how to fly the Kilt Gangs, the mechs now, but because, or the Machine Goodfellow, excuse me, because of the kiss and stuff. So there's a lot more in the kiss than just the memory thing.
Right, you live, relive the events that someone else has gone through. So Momo has been in a mech fight. Yeah. He knows how to fire robots now. So it's like, it's very convenient and does skip a lot of, I guess, useless episodes, which is fine. I mean, the bad guys. But it's like, if she kissed Daichi, would it work? Probably not. No. It would be funny, though. Like, you could just hack his way through the series. Like, I'll just kiss her and give my mech skill from her. That'd be pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of robots, when we get a fight, and instead of using the space robot and transforming all that, we use the, I forgot what they called it, the normal version? I forget. There's a name they use.
Ordinary.
Yeah, Ordinary. I was like, that's pretty funny.
Ordinary.
That's pretty good. So, yeah, you have these two square off in a fight, and it's kind of neat. I mean, that's kind of cool seeing Daichi use the small, like, the Earth robot instead of the giant one. Mm-hmm. And for once, he actually wins a fight, sort of. I mean, he didn't get help by anyone.
Yeah,
it's really nice, because he's always lost a fight up to this point. I mean, from what we've seen, he gets, you know, direct before he does anything.
Yeah, and a couple episodes where things have worked against him, he's been able to basically use the Live Blaster as his ace in the hole to pull through with a win.
Right, yeah, because there's a part in the episode where they, I guess, Zen does like an EMP and knocks out all the electronics, so I was kind of confused. I'm like, since when do these kids have powers? But then I remember Momo has some kind of ability.
Mm-hmm.
And Zen, or not Zen, but Tepe, obviously. But yeah, he makes the EMP and knocks the power out, and Daichi uses the Live Luster and basically wins with, what, 59 seconds left or something like that? The classic, you know, fuse the bomb.
with mech battles, it's never enough that you have, you know, an overwhelming enemy facing you. You always have to have that time limit. You know, Eva had that because, you know, the power source could only go on for so long and the cable could only stretch so far. And, you know, with drama, you always kind of need that third foot to make it a little bit more stable and a little bit more tense. So, you know, writers will always kind of go into that territory. How can we make this even more tense?
Yeah. I have to give Bones, like, a thumbs up for the animation during that with the robots, which is really cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's one shot of, like, CG, but it wasn't that bad, I don't think.
In general, it was just good to see a battle on Earth territory, on Earth soil, instead of just the space battles that we'd been seeing before.
Kind of made
the action, gave it a little bit more variety and gave it something, kept the action fresh.
Right, that's definitely true. And after that, the mech fight, you know, gets away, and yeah, it's kind of funny how that happens.
The Earth engine does kick some ass when it's hindered by our gravity. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to go out into space, and you get a lot more animation dynamic than it's just kind of, you know, floating around or flying around. It can, it's navigating through a city, so it's got all those jumps and leaps and things like that.
Yeah, you would see that, I think, more in episode 9, but with this one, it's kind of like, you know, it's a one-on-one fight. It's pretty good. I like that. And that's kind of the whole episode, really. I mean, not much to say besides Zen getting away and, you know, the Planetary Gears gaining a new member.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there are kind of setbacks for machine Goodfellow because they can't use it right now. And the wrap up the episode, extra stuff. We had I guess Cube has been still in the dark. He doesn't know what's going on with the planetary gears and everything. And fan service with Hana was kind of funny. The third dress she's wearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, showing off that dynamite body.
Yeah, that's true. And then the train they used to actually catapult the robot was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was really cool. And I kind of like that. That's their new base of operations.
Right. Yeah. For like off-site missions, I guess. And the last thing I mentioned. No, you go ahead. Sorry.
A mobile base is always, it's a timeless classic when you get right down to it. And to go back, let's give some Akari love. She looked pretty darn nice in her dress as well.
Yeah, that's true. Both of them, look, even the guys, you know, the suits and everything. It's kind of nice. Yeah. It's always funny seeing the animators, like, draw people in different outfits, like, because you're always so used to the default clothes they always wear. Especially in, like, school series and stuff. But yeah, then we have Daichi, you know, he's the captain, and apparently he hates that title. I don't know why they gave it to him if he doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the kind of, they run that joke into the ground so fast.
Yeah, to me it's like, that's on him. Like, you wanted to be here, you wanted to be a part of this, they've appointed you captain, so, you know, that gag has been very bothersome for me the past couple of episodes. On that level, just I hope there's a point where someone can call him captain without him saying that dumb line. It's wasted dialogue, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, jumping from that, jump to episode 9.
Add one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Zin's friend, the girl that he liked.
Right.
There's a scene where she's on the steps where we first see her, and she sort of turns her head. She looks almost exactly like Mikasa Ackerman from Attack on Titan.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, yeah.
I didn't notice that. I'll have to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah, there's some shafty moments in this, too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of head tilt.
Yeah, there was. I was trying to think of what show it was, but I thought it was a little weird that they did that kind of head tilt and those kind of scene transitions.
Yeah, it was very, yeah, I have to agree with that. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, Kawaiso even jumping on that bandwagon.
Yeah, that's what it was. That was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, doing that. And yeah, that was episode 8. It was interesting. Cool seeing new characters. New cool fight. And episode 9 is more kind of, I would say, a little half centered on Akari a little bit.
Yeah.
And I guess the beginning, we find out that Momo and Amarok are going to kidnap her because they're trying to figure out who's the one that keeps hacking our stuff when we're doing it. Like, they're getting a little aggravated by that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally figure out it's Akari. You know, so there's a plot to kidnap her this week.
Yeah. Good idea. Good person to go after. Can really cut Globe off at the knees there.
Right. It's like both Hana and, like, you know, Akari, if either girl gets kidnapped, it kind of puts a hindrance on their team. That's kind of like, they're important, but to a point, you know. If you think about really the person they should be going after is Daichi. That's what I think, anyway. They can prevent him from using the robot, then Earth is pretty much, you know, free for them to take.
Yeah.
Besides Tepe, but, yeah.
Well, you know, there's always the road you got to get to your ultimate goal, so.
Right, you got to get one person to get to someone else.
Yep.
That's very true. And again, like Jero said last time, there's the planetary gear of the week, and this one is I. She's basically an idol, and like much like Skyline was saying, that all these characters have these, you know, they have so much success in their real life, but it's not enough for them, really.
Never enough.
Right? Yeah. Like, you know, like Zin, you can basically get anything he wants, but he's not really gonna hang on to it. Kind of sucks. And you know, Tepe, at the same time, he feels like he doesn't contribute anything to the team, so he's feeling a little down in the dumps, which he's like that lately in every episode. Why?
It's like the past 3 episodes, you know, just stop milking that and you know, come to the bottom of the jug, okay? It's I mean, just seeing that same, you know, sour face of his in every episode is getting old.
Yeah, I think it's like for the girls watching, it's like, oh, he's so depressed, I can make him. I think that's the whole reason for that.
I sometimes forget that you do have to write to a fan base. Oh, goodness.
Right. It's like, Anna's there for boobs plot. you know, tight stuff is there to be emotional, the girls to cling on to.
And Akari is there to be awesome.
Right, Akari's there just to, I'm there, you know, do my thing. And basically with her, since she lost her computer last week, she goes to buy a new one, and that's when M-Rock and Mocha and even Zin gets in on the kidnapping, and they get her successfully. And mm-hmm. they kind of, you think people in the street would see this? I mean, yeah. I clearly could see it, but...
Their reaction at first mm-hmm. was like, oh my god, look, they're in love. And then some other guy comes in with what looks like a briefcase. What, and then you go, oh, what the heck? What's going on there?
Yeah.
This got awkward quickly.
Yeah. And the girl's like, oh my god, it's so hot. I'm like, no, she just got kidnapped. And the line they were talking about, that must be her boyfriend. I'm like, no, he's obviously older than her.
mm-hmm.
Oh, good. And, but yeah, she gets kidnapped, and, you know, so they're going to hold her for a bit to get some info out of her. But in the meantime, Ai's kind of debating on if she wants to do this concert or not, because,
yeah,
she's kind of, I don't know what's wrong with her. She's just doesn't want to sing, and she's, So Momo arrives. And,
well, she gets a bad review, doesn't she? She kind of gets, you know, which
so,
is,
yeah.
you know,
but... Somebody says her and, you know, cheerfulness is fake.
Right, yeah, because we do see that.
Which, they're not far from wrong, are they?
Nope, they're correct, right on the money. And, you know, for this, we get Momo kissing Ai, which is eerie part one of this episode, and gets back all her memories. It was like, I was almost for that moment I kissed her a little too long, but I was like, maybe she likes girls.
Momo just likes to prioritize, or not, she just likes to prioritize, what can you say?
And she's like, my mission's so hard, and I gotta kiss someone. Oh, man. So difficult.
uh-huh.
And then, you know, with that, we get the fight of the week, the mech fight, and again, on Earth, not space. And I think Ai's more of a ranged mech. She, like, just like Zin, you know, he's in a lot of guns, mm-hmm. a lot of like, mm-hmm. tactics to do that. And we get Daichi kind of like, jumping from building to building, kind of like Spider-Man. It's kind of interesting seeing him do that.
Yeah. Kind of an odd mecha choice for her.
Almost yeah, it
kind
was.
Of like a heavy arms or something.
Yeah, I was going to say heavy arms. Or the, what's the one from 00 that the hacker uses? Oh, I forgot.
Oh, I'm blanking on the name.
It's like, I know it's a big and bulky one, but it looks kind of similar to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that fight was kind of, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't really as over the top as the, I guess, Zin fight. I think Daichi just kind of runs into her. That's all he really does, I think. Yeah.
The they have Akari hack in to the low orbit impactors, and that kind of affects the battle, and then he just decides, you know, I gotta go after it and go for the close win or the close loss, and turns into a close win.
Yeah, he kind of like turns the mech off halfway and powers it up, and it was weird. It was funny how he thought that off the top of his head.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that fight was kind of wrapped up really quickly. But I think they wanted to get back to Akari with Momo and M-Rock, because there's a line that she talks about. Because I guess they make her hack the orbital rocket things, and he's just like, I guess she explains that if she does that, it could cause a nuclear war between certain countries. And if she did that, then there would be no food supply for them, and, you know, Momo doesn't really believe her, and she kisses Akari and realizes that, yeah, she's telling the truth, that the humans would do that. Mm-hmm. There'd be a full nuclear war if they had no way to defend themselves. And that
basically allows her to
get out. Yeah. Go ahead.
Never ever, unless you know exactly what the hacker is doing, never put the hacker, enemy hacker, on your team.
Right. I mean,
come on. It's just like, what's she doing? I don't know. She's tapping away on a keyboard like mad. I mean, she could be doing anything at this moment. I mean, she could be ordering, like, 50 pizzas that we have to pay for in a half hour or something like that. We don't know. Never let the enemy hacker do the job for you. Just they'll find a way to screw you each and every single time.
If you have to ask, did you do what I tell you to, what I told you to, you're in trouble.
Right,
you are in so much trouble.
Especially as a pause afterwards, like, she's doing something else. And I have to give it to Akari, man. She kind of held her own. She wasn't freaked out at all.
Mm-hmm.
They even shot her, like, you know, and it crossed her cheek. But
her.
That always makes me kind of like, in anime, I kind of roll my eyes. I'm like, Yeah, okay. Like, that's gonna happen.
Like, that was such a good shot.
Why is that?
No, because it's like, I don't... That's a close shot. Like, very, very close. Like,
oh, yeah. Okay, like, yeah, I can kind of see where you're going.
Super sniper.
No, I mean, you know, he's a warrior for crying out loud.
Right.
It's not that...
And it always makes me laugh, because, like, but yet, when someone's far away, everyone misses.
Yeah.
You can't shoot him point blank range, then you can shoot him, but no.
It was like that episode of Jormungand. It's like, oh my god, this action is kind of sucks.
Handgun versus sniper rifle.
No.
Oh, good. But yeah, the episode kind of ends with like Akari getting away because, you know, the threat of, you know, no food supply, and the planetary gears have to wait billions of years for another, I guess, sentient being to be there, so like feed off them. So it's like, they have to let her go. Kind of an easy way.
That's the extra part of the thrust that I think might not be paying too terribly much attention to, that she was able to key in on, and the fact that they could have had time. They could have waited, the planetary years could have. They could have waited a little bit longer for situations. Right, but they got impatient. Mm-hmm. And Akari keyed in on that, you know, fairly well. And she went, oh, God, I'm just going to play that against them. Why? You always play your enemy's weaknesses against them.
Yeah, that's true.
It's always a typical story element about villains that get a little too anxious to do something. It always does them in.
Yeah, like every James Bond villain's like that. They gotta tell you their master plan, you know, 10 minutes before he shuts you down, like, then.
So she not only hacked the computers, she hacked her enemies.
That's true, yeah. She's very, tells you she's, you know, quick on her feet there. She can think of all kinds of things to get out of a certain situation.
I'm calling it Akari, best girl.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, leaps and bounds over Hana, who's just the mediator for Pitts, which is kind of stupid. That's all she is.
Yeah.
She's the translator. Oh, Pitts is hungry.
Pitts is doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah, definitely. She's just there for the good looks.
Oh, gosh.
And extra stuff, I would say, the use of ice cream in this episode? Yeah.
I'm going to have to refresh my memory on that, because I forgot.
Well, they're in the cafe, eating cake, and there's a scene in the background, like a video of the of Eye's music video, and she's basically eating ice cream the entire time.
Yeah, it's looped, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, loop physics, you know?
Why do anime always use boring subject matter for pop music?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is weird.
It's ice cream love. We're at the beach. It's so dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to step on highway, but, you know, Love Live does that a lot with some of their songs.
Yeah, which is why I don't watch.
Love Live's like, oh, it's snow, and let's sing a song about snow. Like that. That was set up. That was nice.
Yeah, that's okay. I just think, you know, dumb poppy songs, like using ice cream as the subject.
Yeah, it's like, obviously you're handing
something.
That's
what pop music is. That's what pop music is. It's you know, it's cheese whiz for the airwaves. I mean, that's what you want it to be, you know?
Yeah, not that cheesy. That's like childish.
They're like, we know who's watching the adults, the ice cream, yeah. And so now we got, you know, two planetary girls around here. Which one do you like better, Eye or Momo? I mean, Momo for now, because Eye hasn't done anything.
Yeah. Eye looks good in the video.
I don't know, she has potential. She has some potential. She has a bit of that Yandere quality to her, doesn't she? She looks like, you know, once she sets her eyes on wanting to kill something, you know, barring, you know, goofing up at the end and getting kicked in the face with a live blaster. You know, she looks like she could do that.
Yeah, that's true. I would say, Jay, you're going to say about her. Yeah, I looks good in a bikini. That's pretty good.
Will they ever explain, you know, the Loli and Rondo cell and the live blaster connection? Or again, is that just writers, you know, looking at their market?
Yeah, I think they're going to explain it here eventually. I mean, there's plenty of episodes to open that.
They better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, better. If it's just one of those things, well, just because it happens, I probably won't be too happy with that, but it's fine. And the last thing I mentioned, I didn't write it down, was some of the facial expressions on episode 9 were kind of weird. Akari makes this weird face before she leaves the cafe. I'm like, what? Kind of a weird face.
I don't know, that was kind of an odd face when she kind of stared him down at the end there when she left that trailer, you know,
right.
don't screw the magical girl. I mean, that was just kind of like, I don't know if she was trying out that pose or not.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the next time they see her, she's like, I was really freaked out. You know, but with that episode 10 preview, we have another girl, and she's on a motorcycle, so we don't really know much about her besides that. So I'm looking forward to that. Anything else you guys want to say about these two episodes?
I liked 8 better than 9. I thought the action was better than 8. I think that I liked Ai's character and her story a little bit over Zin. And I definitely enjoyed Akari's role in episode 9 from being kidnapped, but you know, basically feeling like she was totally in control and even kind of a little bit hardened in not sort of fretting over a gun to her head or, you know, knowing that she could take advantage of Amarok and Mocha in that final scene and basically negotiate her own escape.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. What about you, Skyler? Any final thoughts?
Much like J-Ro, I thoroughly enjoyed the Akari service that they had in episode 9. Damn, just way to go, girl. Way to go. That is how you handle the situation. You just do not lose any confidence and play all your skills.
Yeah, that's true. And like when Momo kissed her, she could have easily thought of like escape and then like they could have been like, no, you're not leaving. But she was, you know, main calm, like you're saying. Yeah, thought things through and actually got out. I think gained more than she, you know, than they did.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, now she's, you know, kind of knows how they operate. That I think she could almost figure out who's calling the shots in that group right now.
Yeah.
I think Amarok, if she can get under his skin easily, yeah, she can probably easily get away from them. But yeah, that's the end of the episode. So I guess see you guys next week for episode 10. Maybe do just one by itself.
Thank you very much for having me on.
No problem, man.